I'm Cheryl Corley, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Michelle Martin is back next week. Coming up, in a community once gripped by racial tension, a group of black and white churches swap pastors during Lent. We'll talk with two ministers about what the churches hope to teach their congregations. That Faith Matters conversation in just a few minutes. But first, our weekly political chat. It's been a busy week for the GOP. In Congress, they're fighting over what they see as irresponsible spending in President Obama's budget plan. But outside of Congress, they seem to be fighting each other. Michael Steele, chairman of the Republican National Committee, apologized this week for calling conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh an entertainer and incendiary. But since the apology, there's been lots of political chatter about who's really in charge of the GOP. It's a question that we put today to a roundtable of journalists. Pamela Gentry is senior political analyst and blogger for Black Entertainment Television. Jibby Martinez is a political commentator and contributor at Political.com. And Matthew Condonetti is associate editor at the Weekly Standard. Thank you all for joining me.
It's a pleasure
to be here.
Before we get to Michael Steele and Rush Limbaugh, let's talk about former GOP presidential nominee John McCain. This week, the Arizona senator stood alongside President Obama when the president announced that his administration would review how government contracts are awarded. However, Senator McCain has also been harshly criticizing the administration's spending plan. And Matt, why don't I start with you? What do you think what's going on? What's going on with John McCain? Is he simply being the loyal opposition or a man of his own mind, or is he being divisive?
I think he's being John McCain. And we know from John McCain's long career in politics that he gets outraged at wasteful government spending. We heard that all throughout the campaign. It's not a very romantic political platform. John McCain basically ran on tax cuts for corporations and government spending freeze. Voters didn't find that a very attractive program. And I actually think it misses the larger point. Earmarks, which are John McCain's, you know, bête noir, he hates those earmarks, but they compose such a tiny fraction of the federal budget that it's almost a waste to spend political time talking about them, in my opinion.
Jibby, throughout his career, McCain has been characterized as a maverick. So what do you think? Is this John McCain being a maverick? And does he have a point when he says there needs to be a watchdog, someone to look over this federal spending?
Well, I think he has real credibility on this issue. He made his mark in the Senate on this type of an issue. And he was mindful this week to remind the public that President Obama promised not to have earmarks and to do away with earmarks as recently as, you know, month before the election. So he is being a maverick, but he's also being true to his calling. What's going to be interesting in the future is to see at what point he does decide to work with President Obama. Will he really work with him on eliminating government waste or on health care reform or in the future on immigration reform? Those are things that he has promised to work with the president on, and we'll see how long he continues his criticisms.
Pamela Gentry, what do you think? Is John McCain still smarting over a presidential loss and letting that play out now?
I think he is, but I think he also has to at least remember and remind people that he's a Republican. I mean, I think he lost this election because there were a lot of people who just didn't think he was true to the cloth, which is part of the other discussion we're having today, that he was really going to be a conservative. If he was really going to look out for the things that they cared about. And it took him so long to win that base that I think now he's decided that he's going to show the American people that he is still the John McCain that he was before he ran for president.
All right. Well, let's switch gears and talk about the cloth, as you call it. And the cloth turned into a smackdown of sorts between two men who are often philosophically on the same side of the ring, Michael Steele and Rush Limbaugh. So here's the gist of it. For those who may not have heard what's actually going on, Michael Steele appears on a cable talk show. He calls comments that Rush Limbaugh made about President Obama incendiary and says Limbaugh is an entertainer. And Limbaugh, during his show, comes roaring back at Michael Steele, accusing him of being on Obama's side. And in the end, RNC Chairman Steele apologizes to Limbaugh. So, Matt, I'm going to play something that you said a little while ago. You were on the program about a month ago, and you said that there is this clear distinction between Michael Steele and Rush Limbaugh. Here's a short clip.
Steele actually has power, and Limbaugh is an entertainer. And Republicans make a big mistake if they're going to view Limbaugh as something more than entertainer. And I think Democrats are going to make the same mistake, because what we're seeing now is a whole rash of liberals and Democrats attacking Rush Limbaugh, trying to make him into the leader.
So you basically said the same thing that Chairman Steele seems to have said. So why did Steele apologize?
Well, we're missing part of the story. And the part of the story that is most interesting to me is a coordinated political attack from the White House and its allies in Congress and in the media to somehow label Rush Limbaugh the leader of the GOP. And in that very insightful comment of mine that you just played, I said that would be a mistake. And I think it was a mistake. And in fact, the White House has had to back off. There is no leader to the GOP. It's a well-established fact that a party's leader is the president or the presidential nominee. Or when you have a situation of divided government and the congressional party does not control the White House, then the party's leader is well-established to be the Speaker of the House. That's the case with Newt Gingrich in the 90s and even Nancy Pelosi in the brief period after the Democrats took power in Congress in 2006. Of course, now the GOP has no power anywhere, and thus it has no leader. And so it makes political sense for the White House to try to make Rush Limbaugh, who has high name recognition and high negatives among independents, the leader of the GOP. But it's just flat out wrong.
I was going to say, the only thing different about that is that the Republicans have been in the minority before. I mean, the Democrats were in the majority for 40 years, and the Republicans were in the minority, and they had very good leadership. In the, you know, they had Bob Dole. They had really stalwart people who were leading their party and leading their conservative agenda or whatever their agenda was at that time. So my difference on that with you, Matt, would be that I know a lot of entertainers are probably upset that that's a bad word now, but I do think that there can be minority leadership and of the party, and that the fact that no one has stepped forward, whether it's the chairman of the party or even someone from the Senate or the Congress to take that spot, is a void.
Now, let me
hold on just a second. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the direction of the Republican Party with political journalists Matt Continetti, Jibby Martinez, and Pamela Gentry. Go ahead, Jibby. You want to jump in here?
I did want to agree with part of what Matt said, mm-hmm. which is that it was a mistake for the White House to get involved. They really don't need to descend to Rush Limbaugh's level. It was a risky strategy, but it worked to the extent that it took the national conversation away from what's really going on. Budget, economic downturn, the stock market keeps going up. What have we all been talking about this week? Mm-hmm. Rush Limbaugh. And, you know, from here on out, I don't think the White House should pay any attention to him, because Rush Limbaugh hates to be ignored. And this actually helped his ratings tremendously. So they don't need to be helping him out.
Well, let me ask you. I'm not going to leave it alone just yet.
I understand.
It seems that the GOP command is a little fractured right now. I mean, Matt says there isn't any big leader right now. Michael Steele's leadership is being questioned. We had Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, who was touted as the star of the Republican Party. His shine seems to be diminishing just a little bit in recent weeks. So is the GOP really looking for that one person who can, you know, tie everybody together, conservatives and moderates?
I don't think that the power structure is looking for that one person, because there really is no power structure. And so in the absence of power, you have this vacuum where everyone is trying to rise up and be that leader. In the House, you see John Boehner trying to, you know, offer the counter agenda. And in the Senate, Mitch McConnell being the leader as well. You know, the truth is Michael Steele is the leader now. And if he would quit trying to be too relevant to today and just figure out what the party needs and try to lead them out of that narrow focus and vision, he can help them. But, you know, he's the leader. He needs to take over.
Well, let me ask all of you, go around the table here, is Michael Steele going to be able to weather this storm and survive as chairman of the RNC? Matt, let me begin with you.
I think Michael Steele made a big mistake buying into the White House's line that somehow Rush Limbaugh is the leader of the GOP. Michael Steele is not the leader of the GOP. He is the chairman of the Republican National Committee. Go back to 2005. Was Howard Dean the leader of the Democratic Party? Was Nancy Pelosi the minority? She was the minority leader in Congress. Was she the leader of the Democratic Party? Was Keith Olbermann the talk show host, the leader of the Democratic Party. Mm. No, there was no leader until Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton had that fascinating and incredible primary fight, and Obama emerged as the leader of the Democratic Party. The same process will take place with the Republicans. It just won't take place for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Pamela, what do you think?
Well, a little bit of all of this is confusing to me, but I think what we're seeing right now is that Michael Steele has put himself between a rock and a hard place, and that is that he's got this image because he's a minority, and this is something else that I'm very confused about, is the Republican Party, all of a sudden, one of their strong suits has always been defining their agenda, defining their direction, and finding people to kind of carry it out, carry the message. And what they haven't done this time is it's almost in reverse. They've picked these people like Bobby Jindal to carry the message and Sarah Palin to carry the message, but they haven't defined the message. So they're working in a vacuum. And so until they can do that, do what they do best, they're going to be in the position they're in now.
Sure. One thing about the Howard Dean comment, yes, he is not the leader of the party. And when I said that Michael Steele is leader, I meant organization leader. Because the one thing that Howard Dean did was get the Democratic organization working again, raised money to national strategy,
right,
and pulled them together organizationally so that the philosophical leader could rise.
And that's what Michael still isn't doing right now.
Right. And with that, I'm going to have to end our conversation. Thank you so much. Pamela Gentry is senior political analyst and blogger for Black Entertainment Television. Matthew Continetti is an associate editor at the Weekly Standard, a conservative publication. Also the author of The K Street Gang, The Rise and Fall of the Republican Machine. And Jibby Martinez is a political commentator and contributor at Political.com. All of the guests joined us here in our Washington studios. Thank you.
It was a pleasure.